If we were able to sit down together, maybe, I don't know, grab coffee or lunch, and I was to ask you, tell me about your relationship with the Holy Spirit, what would you say? It could be, for some people, a hard question. You know, some of us, we're clueless, and that's nothing new, actually. If you look at the Apostle Paul, you know, early church planter, 2,000 years ago, he's in Ephesus, he asked these guys basically the same question, and they are clueless. They're like, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Some of us know more than that, but we can still be confused, maybe even avoiding the Holy Spirit. You know, perhaps when we started following Jesus, we were excited and we're like, woo, fired up. So we're going to read his book, you know, God's book, the Bible. The Holy Spirit's like the author. So we start reading and reading, and then we get tired and we kind of just give up. But not before we read the beginning about Jesus' birth and how the Holy Spirit got a virgin pregnant, Mary. Now, she agreed to it. She consented. But it's still weird. And so we're like, I don't want the Holy Spirit getting me pregnant. Okay, the Holy Spirit still does lots of cool stuff, but you can hang out with the Holy Spirit and not get pregnant. It's not a thing, okay? It's not a thing. Here, though, how can we, like, what kind of relationship can we have with the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus was talking to this guy, Nicodemus, and he said, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Confused yet? Nicodemus was, and he was a really smart guy. This whole rebirth, wind blowing, huh? Jesus, the Bible, lots of people today, they use metaphors, similes when talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the wind or like water, like fire, like a dove. You know, it can be hard to talk about the Holy Spirit, hard to put into words. So we use all these comparisons. And no, Nicodemus, you don't take it literally. The Holy Spirit is not stuffing grown people back into their mother's womb. That's nuts. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying to enter the kingdom of God, to get in on the good life now and in heaven. There's more than just what you know, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins. By the way, Satan knows that. The final judgment is not the ultimate true-false test. There's more. There's being reborn. And the Holy Spirit makes that happen. As the Vineyard pastor, Di Layman, said, the Holy Spirit is the agent of this new birth. He is the one who draws us, changes us, and works in us the amazing reality of being made new, clean, and now the actual home of God himself. Yeah, if we're followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes a huge difference. He is so important in our actual lives. We're not just like observers of the Holy Spirit. We're not just like his admirers. Like, oh, I admire his work. Holy Spirit, great job. You know, at the beginning when you hovered over the water and made the world. And Holy Spirit, great job. You know, when you helped Jesus, when you were directing him and empowering him. And oh, wow, what you did when you supercharged the early church. You know, Holy Spirit, you're so dramatic and exciting. I love watching your work. You know, it's way more exciting than that Avengers Endgame. Now, sure enough, the Holy Spirit's work is crazy good. Watching it is why I love working here. But if we're going to enter the kingdom of God, if we're going to like be followers of Jesus, it's like we need an Avenger inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Tell me about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Well, my relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's like having an Avenger inside of me. Smart guy, theologian, Gordon Fee, he studied the Apostle Paul's relationship with the Holy Spirit, and this is what he wrote. For Paul, the Spirit is not merely an impersonal force or influence or power. The Spirit is none other than the fulfillment of the promise that God himself would once again be present with his people. The Holy Spirit in Paul's writings was always thought of in terms of the personal presence of God. The Spirit is God's way of being present. Whatever else the Holy Spirit was for the Apostle Paul, he was always an experienced reality. Sorry, Star Wars fans. I know yesterday was your big day. But the Holy Spirit is not. He is not like the Force. Nope. He is way more like having an Avenger inside us, fighting for us, making us more like Jesus. He's an experienced reality. The Holy Spirit isn't something that you just know about. He's something that you feel inside changing you. And that freaks some of us out, because we're like experience phobic. You know, I can know things, I can believe them because I can control them, but you can't control God. The Holy Spirit is not tame. Ask Mary or Paul. No, the Holy Spirit's a little scary, but he is good. And by the way, for followers of Jesus, he's not optional. No, he's a must. That's one of the things that Jesus is telling Nicodemus. We've got to have the Holy Spirit. So today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about how we can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at how we can experience him, how the Holy Spirit is loving us, and he is filling us, and he is empowering us. And by the way, this shouldn't all just be talk today. The Holy Spirit is here in this room now with us, in us. So we're going to ask him to be present, to change us. So let's do that now. Why don't you join me in prayer? God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We need your presence. We need you. God, I ask for each of us that you strengthen the relationship that we have with you today, that we see it in new ways and that we experience it in new ways. We experience you and your love and your presence and your power, and then it does transform us. I ask this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. So, the Holy Spirit, he is hot for you, right? He is in love with you, and not in a sexual way, but he is so, so in love with you. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit's love, it is rooted in relationship. Relationship. In other words, he doesn't love us just for what we do. No. He loves us. He loves us primarily because of who we are. You don't earn the Holy Spirit's love. It's like what happened to Jesus. And maybe this will happen to some folks today while they're being baptized. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." See how the Holy Spirit's love works here? Jesus, right, at this time when he's being baptized, he's just a poor carpenter, right? Later, he's going to go and he's going to do incredible miracles, amazing, astonishing teaching. He's going to rock the world. But right now, God is saying, "I love you," to a nobody. See, God's love for Jesus, God's love for us, isn't based on the good things we do. It's based on who we are. It's rooted in relationship. Now, that's a great thing, right? Because God loving us, the Holy Spirit loving us, he does all kinds of great things in our lives. Actually, coming up to Easter, we talked about, does God really love me? Guess what he does? Absolutely. It should be no surprise, right? Yet, I want to say that we can oversimplify God's love. See, how the Holy Spirit loves us is based on relationship. If you think about it, God loves, he blesses the entire human race. He loves everything he has made. He does. Now, when it comes to the humans, because of our sin, because of our rebellion, God's mad at, his wrath is upon some of us that he loves, absolutely. Others of us, though, those of us that have surrendered to Jesus, that have accepted Jesus' gift on the cross, that he died because of our rebellion, that Jesus took God's wrath, those of us that believe and receive, we get the right to become children of God, beloved children of God. Okay, all this, it's easy for us to like sort of skim over the details. And that results in one of two mistakes. We can think, well, God loves everyone, right? He just accepts everyone. God just loves everyone. He never says no. He never judges anyone or tries to change them or sends them to hell. Not true. No, if God gives up on justice, he gives up on being a loving God. His judgment comes from a place of love. And it's not that complicated. You know, parents that never say no to their kids, they stink as parents. That's not love. On the other hand, another mistake. We can think, oh, God loves the Christians because of Jesus. He loves us and only us. The rest of those sinners, they're going to hell. I'm kind of glad they are, too, getting what they deserve. No, No, God loves all the sinners, even the ones he's sending to hell. And that breaks his heart. And if we're going to be like God, we got to love all the sinners too. Do you see how this works? Do you see how God's love and relationship, they fit together, that's working? Do you see that? Okay. If you and I got to sit down and I was going to ask you, you know, tell me about how you're experiencing the love of the Holy Spirit, what would you say? Because you know what? We're all experiencing the love of the Holy Spirit. God loves the whole human race, right? All the humans. He loves everything he made. He absolutely does. I mean, you've got to have a moment when you were, I don't know, watching a sunset or out in nature or saw a baby's face and you felt a warmth, a tingle down the spine. You're feeling God's love for this world, right? God loves us all. He loves all the humans. He made us. And we can open ourselves up more and more to that love, to feeling it, to being thankful to him. Every breath we take is from him. Everything. Now, that's for everyone, everyone that God made. But for those of us that surrender to Jesus, that are following Jesus, there is more. And the Apostle Paul, he talks about this. He says, therefore, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Yada, yada, yada. He talks more. And then he says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. How are we experiencing that? You know, lots of us have cool stories about that, right? How God came to us and when we were in total need, when we were broken, he's healed us, he's transformed us, he's made us more like Jesus. Yeah, God's done some crazy things in people's lives. Absolutely. But we all can experience more of the Holy Spirit and his love. So let me just give you two ways to press in to experiencing more of his love in your like real life. First, just take 5 minutes each day for silence and solitude. 5 minutes between now and Pentecost, or as some people like to call it, June 9th this year. So between now and June 9th, just take 5 minutes, right? And this is going to be 5 minutes like when you first get up in the morning, before you go to bed at night. You know, if you got kids jumping all over you at those times, I remember that. I would just pull over my car on the way home from work and just spend 5 minutes in the car with the Holy Spirit. And when you do, just ask him. Go, Holy Spirit, come and love me. And then just wait and listen. And if you're like me, often your mind will just race and nothing really will happen. But if we can get calmed down, if we can slow down and actually listen, you'll hear from God. You'll experience his love. Second way to press into this. God's got a book out, right? Read the book that the Holy Spirit inspired, the Bible. You know, in the same way that he inspired the writing of it, he can use it to speak to you, to allow you to experience God's love. He absolutely can. You know, 300 years ago, Jonathan Edwards, he wrote about what this feels like in his journal. He wrote, I had then, and at other times, the greatest delight in the Holy Scriptures of any book whatsoever. Oftentimes, in reading it, every word seemed to touch my heart. I seemed often to see so much light exhibited in every sentence and such a refreshing food communicated that I could not get along in reading, often dwelling long on one sentence to see the wonders contained in it. The sense I had of divine things would often of a sudden kindle up, as it were, a sweet burning my heart, an ardor of soul that I know not how to express. See, it's one thing to just read the Bible. It's another to have the Holy Spirit just come and show us Jesus, show us God's love, experiencing that love. Well, just try this, okay? Just try reading the Bible and say, God, I want to read the Bible like Jonathan Edwards. Bring this thing alive to me. Bring it alive. All right, so one big way that we have relationship with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit makes God's love real for us. He allows us to feel it, to experience it, and that is great. But there's more. There's more. Like throughout the Bible, how it talks about us being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, it's not like God sticks his hand up in us like puppets and just takes control of us. No, that's not what being filled is. It's much more like this. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. See, another metaphor, right? Being filled, it's like being filled with water, right? This river of life just welling up from inside of us, which is great because we leak. I know we do. I do. I leak. And I'm not talking about the need for like adult diapers, right? At least not yet. But we do. We leak. I leak. You know, for example, I'll get up in the morning, right? And I'll read the Bible and I'll feel so close as I'm praying and being with God. And, you know, I'll come to worship and I'll sing the songs and I'll feel God's touch. And I'm fired up, right? I want to love him back. I want to do his will. I want to serve him. I feel so alive. And then someone cuts me off in traffic, or I get a mean email, or I start arguing with my wife and whoosh, there goes the living water. And even crazier, sometimes nothing happens. I just like forget that God's there. And suddenly I'm out in the desert alone. You see, I leak. And I need the Holy Spirit to just keep filling me up again and again and again and again. And I'm not alone. As the Vineyard pastor Rich Nathan says, "I wonder sometimes if the fact that so many of us Christians find ourselves drawn into trivial pursuits and we spend hours watching absolutely nonsense on TV, I wonder if the fact that so many of us find ourselves drawn not only into trivial pursuits but into illicit pleasures, I wonder if all of this doesn't indicate that we have experienced in our lives a drought of the Holy Spirit. Many of us are in a place that the Jewish people were in at the time of the prophets and before the coming of Jesus, the drought of the Holy Spirit." Is that us? Do we need more life in our lives? Do we need more joy and more power and more living water? I think all of us do need more, right? So let's like open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit filling us. Let's open ourselves up so he can fill us from the inside. Now, for this, we need to remember that deep theological principle that we talked about before, that the Holy Spirit is not like Star Wars, he's way more like the Avengers. Seriously, lots of us, we believe, we kind of act like the Holy Spirit is just this impersonal force out there, and that somehow we can be filled by him in some mechanical way. No, it's not like the Eastern religions, the Eastern thought that, you know, the divine is this big force out there and that you can seek the divine through mechanical meditation, the kind of meditation where you just empty your mind. No, the Bible talks a lot about meditation, but there's no emptying of the mind. What there is setting your mind on the words of God, the words for you personally. Do you see how one's mechanical and one's personal? Now, maybe the mechanical is just easier because lots of folks, lots of churches, they believe, they teach that you know, if you just say the right prayer or if you do this or don't do that or if you repent in the right way, if you basically press all the right buttons, then here it comes. Whoo, here comes the Holy Spirit. Fills us. No, it's not mechanical. It's personal. He's not just an impersonal force. He's a person. And because he's a person, being filled by the Holy Spirit is like being filled by a person. Yeah, he has a mind of his own. He does what he wants, and he says what he wants. And what he wants is us to be happy, and he wants us to love him. But he's a person in us. Does any of this sound familiar? Do we got this going on inside? Well, if we had a chance to sit down together, and I was to ask you, tell me about how you're being filled by the Holy Spirit, what would you say? I think some of us would point to the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. Maybe it was the gift of tongues that we received. You know, we got the gift of a personal prayer language with God. And that's a great gift. But it's not a universal gift. It's not like the Holy Spirit buys one gift and gives it to everybody. He's a person. He knows he gives different gifts. He knows the gift that you need, and he gives you that gift. Here's something that is universal. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I love this. Maybe because I'm a former attorney, but I can really relate to this. I've had clients that have looked to me as their advocate, their counselor, their helper. This Greek word here gets translated all those ways, and it has the context of a legal advocate. See, it is the job of the Holy Spirit to argue. Yeah, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to argue, right? Absolutely, that's his job. There's other parts involved in being filled by the Holy Spirit. And we may not recognize this part of being filled by the Holy Spirit, but if you're filled by the Holy Spirit, whether you see it or not, all of us have someone, God, inside us, arguing with us, being filled by the Holy Spirit. It's like when we start to think that this whole Jesus on the cross business, it's too good to be true, right? The gift. No, we got to earn it. We got to work. We got to do some things ourselves. And then we hear that gentle voice saying, no, it's for you. It's true. You can accept it. That's the Holy Spirit making the case for grace, making the case against religion. Or it's when things go wrong, that bad things happen in our lives, and we're like, God has abandoned me. He doesn't love me anymore. And then we hear the whisper, no, I'm here. I see your pain. I know the hurt. I'm with you in the hurt. It's the Holy Spirit making the case for a love that goes beyond understanding, and he helps us experience that love. Or it's when we turn ourselves over to things like money or power and sex and the Holy Spirit, he's jealous because he wants to be first in our lives. God wants to be first in our lives. So he's like, hey, whatever you're putting above me, that thing's going to turn on you. It's going to destroy you. Turn back to me. I am better. I'm the only thing that can give you real life. It's Holy Spirit making the case against our idols. Now, everyone that follows Jesus struggles. We all struggle, but we all have the Holy Spirit in us making the case for truth. We may ignore him. We may leak to the point where, you know, pretty much all the living water, all the truth is gone. But it is never too late for us. I remember in my life, when I was a young man, I remember arguing with God about having sex before marriage. I was like, does the Bible really say it's wrong? I was looking up words and parsing the language. I'm like, there must be some doubt here. You know, everybody's doing it. How can it be wrong? And then one day, I remember I was about to cross the street. I can picture that intersection, Washington, D.C., like it was yesterday. I'm standing there, and suddenly I hear in my head, what you're about to do is wrong. I love you, but it's wrong. It's the Holy Spirit, right? He's arguing inside of me. He's advocating for the truth. Now, I was leaking like crazy, and you know, I didn't really know what was going on, but there's the Holy Spirit in me, filling me, fighting for me, never giving up on me. What do you struggle with? Is it money, sex, power, whatever it is? What is it that the Holy Spirit is in you arguing about? Maybe what I should ask is, what are you ignoring the Holy Spirit about in your life? What are you pretending that he's not saying? But you know he's pointing to something. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Spirit of truth, fill us. Show us the truth. Show us the truth. See, a big part of having a relationship with the Holy Spirit is we leak and he fills us. He fills us with love. He fills us with the truth. Absolutely. Arguing inside of us. But you know, I got to tell you something. After I had that argument on the street corner there in D.C. with the Holy Spirit, it's not like I went out and did the right thing. No, I didn't repent and go to God. I was too selfish, too weak. No, and it's the funny thing too is the Holy Spirit won the argument. I kept arguing, but I knew he was right. I knew the truth. But I just couldn't live it for months. What I needed to do, what I should have done right there on that corner is say, God, you're right. Now help me. Help me. I need the power. I need the strength to do what's right, to actually do it and live it, to put you first in my life. See, here's the thing. We don't just have the greatest lawyer ever inside us arguing. And you know, I love lawyers, but basically they're pencil pushing weaklings, okay? Here's the thing. We got like an Avenger inside us. We got like better than Avenger. We got the
creator of the universe, the almighty king of the universe inside of us. Talk about power. Jesus, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Let me read that again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. We get power. We receive that power. It's like a real thing. So if we got a chance to sit down and talk, and I was to ask you, tell me about how you are receiving the Holy Spirit's power, what would you say? Like some of us would point to worship, right? We come into a place like this and whoo, the power shoots through us. Maybe we just can't stop crying or we fall to our knees. Others of us, I think some of us would talk about when we prayed for someone and whoa, they were healed. It was like a straight up miracle. Some of us, the miracle was that God gave us the power, the strength to ask someone, can I pray for you right now? Or maybe we were going to pray for someone and Jesus told us something about that person that we wouldn't have otherwise. There was no way we could have known it. And when we tell it to them, they're like, oh, God sees me and knows me and loves me. You know, the thing is, at the end, when people come up here for prayer at the end, you know what most people are after? They're looking for the Holy Spirit, God's power to break through in their lives. They want healing. They want to be out of their like mess, their financial mess, their relationship mess. They want to get freedom from their addictions and their sins. And, by the way, and all of that stuff can happen. But you got to remember something here we've been talking about. The Holy Spirit is not this impersonal force that we can use and manipulate. He's a person. He's a person. He has his own desires and priorities. Basically, the Holy Spirit is always going to do just whatever he wants. Now, we tend to see a lot more of the Holy Spirit's power when we ask him to do stuff that he's already told us that he wants to do. Here's where his book, the Bible, comes in really handy, right? Because you read the Bible and you can see the Holy Spirit, he wants us to experience God's love. He wants to heal us. He wants us all to put God first in our lives. But what does the Holy Spirit, of all the things he could do, what does he want to do right here, right now? Sometimes it's painfully clear. He's arguing with us about it on a street corner. When it's not so clear, we can actually ask him too, you know. Here, let me give you an example from my life of knowing what the Holy Spirit wants to do. I've read the Bible, and I know that God wants me to put him first in my life, right? He absolutely does. Sometimes, though, I want to put other things first in my life, and that's not cool with the Holy Spirit. He loves me. He wants me to be healthy, and he wants the best for me. For me, sex was a thing that I struggled with, right? And I thought, like many followers of Jesus, that I could solve this problem by getting married. Yeah, you know, if you read the Bible is pro-sex inside of marriage, right? You know, it's a beautiful gift. It's not for everyone, but if you get married, you get it. So if I can just get married and only have sex with my wife, this will be solved. I should have read the Bible more closely. By the way, Jesus never had sex, right? The Bible is pro-sex and sex inside of marriage, but you know, the Bible celebrates celibacy, like big time celebrates celibacy. You know, sex, marriage, it's not God's top priority, right? God cares way, 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 way more about whether we put him first in our lives than whether we ever get to have sex. But for me, I needed sex, right? Because it made me feel loved. It made me feel significant. It was a thing where it dulled the pain of that feeling like I didn't matter. So I was going to sex for something that I should have been going to God for. And by the way, getting married didn't solve that problem. You can be totally faithful in marriage and still have a huge problem with sex. So, the Holy Spirit, right? He's starting to say things. He's in me. He's arguing. He's starting to show me how I'm making sex into an idol. But I can't stop. I'm not okay. I'm just not okay if I don't have it. And I know what he wants, but I can't do it. I can't. Ugh. So, I remember one night, my wife turns me down for sex, which, by the way, is okay for wives to sometimes turn you down for sex. But it wasn't okay to me, right? I'm like, oh, no, does she not love me anymore? Does she not care about me anymore? Doesn't she know I need to be loved? I'm getting this whole whirlwind of emptiness just spinning around inside of me. It is eating me up. I'm getting angry at her, angry at God. And then, this is a long time ago, but I remember it like yesterday. I'm yelling at God. I'm like, oh. And I say, Jesus, I know that you love me. I know you do. Okay? But I got all this gunk inside. Let me give you all the gunk. Okay? Just take all this yuck. And you give me your love. Let's trade. And it worked. Because the Holy Spirit's power. Right there. Right? He took all the anxiety, all the emptiness, and the whirlwind. He took it all. And I start to just feel this peace and this calm and this warmth. Jesus loves me. He's right there with me. God always loves me. He's always there for me. All I need to do is put him first. And by the way, he's already given me the strength. The Holy Spirit's in me to put him first. I feel that. So what about you? What about you? Do you struggle with sex? It could easily be something else in your life. What do you need to be okay? Do you need romance, maybe? Or money, or power, or porn, or, do you need drugs, or alcohol, or gambling, or your phone? Something on the screen, you gotta have it to be okay. What do you need to be okay? Maybe you're just seeing it right now for the first time, or maybe the Holy Spirit's been arguing with you about it for some time. Well, today, can you say, God, I see it, and I need help. I need power. I need your power to put you first in my life. Give me the power to put you first. You can do that right now. We can call on the Holy Spirit. Welcome him. We can do it now. We can do it while people are being baptized at the end. There'll be a time for prayer. You can come up and let someone help you ask for that. But can we do that? Can we ask for his help, his power? Okay, here's what we're going to do next. I'm actually going to ask some folks to come up that want to put God first in their lives, right? The folks that are being baptized. And the people that we baptize, here's what's going on in their lives. They've basically said yes to God. They've said, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on that cross. I have faith that he died for my sins. And so I give up on myself, and I want Jesus to be king in my life. And what baptism is a cool picture of what happens in the spiritual world when we say that. When these folks, when they go under the water, right, that's a picture of how they die with Jesus, right? Our sins get left in the grave with Jesus. And then when we come out of the water, it's like when Jesus is raised from the dead. We come out of the water born into new life. You know, a new life filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with his power. We get a whole new family. Baptism is a really cool picture of that. So if you want to be baptized today, we would love to baptize you. Maybe right now you're feeling like a little nudge inside of you to get baptized. Guess what? That's probably the Holy Spirit. But you only need to be baptized once, right? And also, don't worry if you weren't planning on being baptized this morning. We got towels. We got dry clothes. Really focus on what's going on inside you, right? Inside, are you feeling that nudge? Are you feeling maybe someone arguing with you about why you've never been baptized? Holy Spirit. Are you feeling like maybe you don't have the power to actually get up and walk up here and get baptized? Ask him for that. He'll give you that power. That's what he does. All right. So, let's baptize some folks. If you're planning on being baptized, come on up. Just line up right here if you're planning on being baptized. Or if right now you're like, hey, I think I got to be baptized. Just get up. Come on up here. We'd love to baptize you. Don't focus on the external. The water is warm. We got sweats and t-shirts and all different sizes, right? You know, just look at what's going on inside. Is God saying to you, you should get up there and tell the world that you're in, you're following Jesus. Maybe like Jesus, you need to hear God's voice. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, and I am pleased with you. If that's where you're at, we'd love to baptize you. If you're just making this decision now, like I say, you can come up here. You can talk to Brian or Michelle over here about being baptized. We'd love to do that in your life today.